Joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Senator Toy Hutchison from Olympia Fields. She is the president of the National Conference of State Legislatures and also was named by Governing Magazine as one of the top 10 public officials in the country. Senator, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. So you heard the governor's comments. You're part of the expanded Democratic majority in the Senate, expanded Democratic majority going on in the House, Democrats capturing all statewide offices. What's your take on outgoing Governor Rauner's remarks there?
I think it's unfortunate. We hear a lot of public officials across the country talk about how we need to do better in the way we communicate to and about each other. And one thing I do know, visiting states and places around the country and, frankly, around the world, is how much people are concerned about the fact that we talk about the institutions that are supposed to govern us in ways that almost make it impossible for anybody to trust or understand anything. And that does a disservice to every single constituent we have. So in a time when the success of whoever is in that office means the success of the state of Illinois, I would hope that he would have just done better. He called for that at the end of the campaign, but those comments are pretty much exactly what he was saying over a 736-day impasse where he couldn't figure out how to talk to anybody. So, I'm sorry that that's the tact he chooses to take on the way out. That's just really unfortunate. We have lots of work to do, and I'm really looking forward to a different approach to how we do it. And I think you'll see that just based on the number of people who are on transition teams, the breadth of folks that are coming in to give their help and service and ideas, the fact that our incoming governor, Governor-elect Pritzker, didn't hold the line on we only want to hear from just Democrats. He broadened the tent and expanded it to people all across the political spectrum, and that's the way you govern. At some point, you got to stop campaigning because you can't govern if you never stop campaigning.
Well, I was almost thinking in here with former President George H.W. Bush and his passing, and a lot of people are commenting on the note that he left Bill Clinton in the White House, and, good luck. You're all our president now, and to contrast it with
saying I'm rooting for you hard, that right. I want you to succeed so the country succeeds. It's a case study in classiness that I think we're missing from the political system today.
Well, now you've been president of NCSL since August.
And
I mean, it's a big organization. Obviously, a lot of traveling around to other states. And I mean, what kind of things are you learning from other states as you hold this position?
I don't know whether this is funny or not, but really, the biggest thing that you see once you get to travel everywhere is that nobody's happy.
Really?
I've never been to a state where anyone in that individual state is singing all the praises in the world about their political system. Everybody's upset about something. And you can almost point to some of the arguments that we have here anywhere else you go. And sometimes it's regional, sometimes it's near borders, sometimes it is partisan, absolutely ideological partisan divides. But the one thing you do see is that we desperately need to protect and strengthen the institution of the legislature, that the legislative branch is an Article I branch. It was contemplated to be closest to the people, and that would be where the seat of governing, that would be where the seat of governing would happen. And now we have an environment where people literally run against the institution. So if you hate it when you run for it and then you get in and say, oh, no, but not me, we have to do much better to make sure that people understand that the people they send to Springfield or to D.C. are there to participate in something that really does make our country great, and that's representative democracy. We can't do that when we're literally tearing down the institutions that are charged with keeping us all not necessarily on the same page, but governs how we live and work and play together. So the eye-opener, really, is that we have a lot of work to do to restore trust. Otherwise, none of the work that any of us runs on can happen.
So how do you restore that trust, though? You can't do it in this atmosphere.
Well, you know, part of it is you have to, it may sound quaint, but being the change you want to see. So even we just opened this segment on what did I think about Governor Rauner's remarks, and contradicting those to what we've seen in the majority of the history of our country, which is a smooth transference of power. It's something that we are known for globally, which is being slowly eradicated every single day. So we have to model that. When any of us that are in the public eye and in the public trust this way, we have to model that. It doesn't mean you have to be saints or perfect. You should never make mistakes. But it does mean that you hold the position that we hold in a sense of, I have a responsibility to the people that I represent to be as transparent, as open as I possibly can. And that also means accepting and acknowledging the people who disagree with me aren't necessarily evil per se. They just disagree with me. And that means I have to work harder to at least see whether we can move the ball forward. That's really what representative democracy is about. It's what our system is about. Nobody has a claim on all the good ideas only on one side of the aisle. And it cannot ever work that way because all you get is gridlock at that point. And we see that everywhere. And the biggest thing I also see when I travel also internationally is how many people are so concerned about America losing its leadership position in the world on that point in particular. So it's been fascinating to explain, one, our federal system to people around the world, and then visit our own, you know, each other members of the legislature across the state, because NCSL is 7,400 legislators across the state, both Republican and Democrat, and over 25,000 legislative staff across the country. This is where we really are the little laboratories of democracy, and when we do well, the country sees it. We move the ball forward.
I'm not so sure I'd want to be in your position of trying to explain where we are as a government these days sometimes, you know, and that's got to be a very defensive position when you talk about where the state of affairs to someone in a foreign country.
Sometimes it's I have experienced those moments, but then I've also experienced incredible moments of, you know, being in places where I have to realize that they have a full, vibrant political spectrum just like we do, and that sometimes the rhetoric that I hear from their seats of power doesn't match what individual people feel across their country, you know, closer to the ground. And when you connect with someone like that anywhere in the world and you recognize that there are people who love democracy and understand that that is something that is built from the people, that's not top down. That is literally designed and built to be bottom up, and we have to write that. And the only way to do that is to talk to people who don't look like you, who don't think like you, who may not necessarily agree with you. I have a 92-year-old aunt who told me just a couple days ago, she said, you very rarely learn anything from somebody who agrees with you all the time. Pretty much only learn something from somebody who doesn't.
Very good point. We're speaking with State Senator Toy Hutchinson, Democrat from Olympia Fields, the president of the National Conference of State Legislatures. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, speaking with State Senator Toy Hutchinson, Democrat from Olympia Fields. She's the president of the National Conference of State Legislatures, and she was recently honored by Governing Magazine as one of 10 of the 2018 Public Officials of the Year. And, Senator, you were cited along with two other lawmakers, one from Colorado and one from Indiana, as being an essential part of responding to the Me Too movement in the country. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, every day we hear about another instance of things, but have we done enough on the government side and also in the political campaign side to try to prevent this kind of harassment from going on?
This is a topic of conversation, I think, that we're all having, and I think we're having it in a better way than we had before. I know,
because we're talking about it, right?
I mean, exactly, and that goes to changing the culture that's around this, because a lot of this we won't be able to legislate away. I mean, we're talking about deeply seated behaviors and ways that we interact with each other that have a lot of different causes and come that are ingrained in, and there's sometimes there's generational differences, sometimes there's all kinds of intersections. This is complicated. This is not just we're going to pass a bill and all of a sudden it's going to be gone. Any more than I usually make the comment to a lot of my women friends when we're talking about being frustrated about the pace of this, is that I wake up every day and wish there wasn't any more racism, but there is. And you get up every day and you do the best you can to make this better today than it was yesterday. So it's slow and it's complicated, it's unwieldy, but it's necessary. And I think the fact that it's happening the way that it's happening is also extremely uncomfortable. And so when you get extremely uncomfortable, you also have the requisite backlash. So with all of that that's happening across every single industry, then you have these bills and things that pop up that I think give people light. The low-hanging fruit that we had was that sexual harassment in the building was not an express violation of the ethics code. So imagine that. Even if you had reported it, it wasn't an express violation. That was low-hanging fruit. It was low-hanging fruit to make sure we had a legislative inspector general. Most people didn't know we didn't have one.
Right.
Most people come into a building and don't recognize how many different layers there are that make up the atmosphere in the Capitol. People who are independently working, people who are independently working for other people on contract, folks who actually work for the state, and then the biggest thing, we the elected officials, and how do you hold folks like that accountable? There are a lot of places and ways and areas that people interact, but at the end of the day, in 2018, just because it's here and it's out in the open, you should never, nobody should ever go to work wherever they go to work, especially in the place, in the seat where laws are made, and feel unsafe.
I mean, I think that's the part of it that makes it hard to wrap around is this is the place where the laws are made, and it happens. Well, we will talk more about this because obviously the discussion continues. Democratic State Senator Toy Hutchinson from Olympia Fields, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.